I don't know if you've ever heard about the fictional, I'm sure a English former English teacher has heard, the Man Without a Country. Remember that short fictional story? It's about a Army Lieutenant Philip Nolan, who was involved in a plot with Aaron Burr. Burr was tried for treason, and Nolan was tried as his accomplice. And during the sworn testimony in this fictional story, Nolan bitterly renounced the United States of America. And with a foul oath and an angry shout, he said something like, "I wish I may never hear of the U.S. again." And in the story, the judge grants his wish and sentences him to spend the rest of his life aboard U.S. Navy warships in exile with no right to ever set foot on U.S. soil, and that none in his presence would ever mention the United States to him again. You know, as Christians, we're like a man without a country too, that is, in this world, because we're displaced here. I'm thinking about what Paul says, and I'm not asking you to turn here, but he says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven." And the word translated conversation is literally citizenship. We are citizens of heaven. Now, I know most of us are citizens of the United States of America too, but we are ultimately citizens of heaven. And in that sense, this is not our country. Our real country is heaven. Our real country is that country in whom the builder and maker is God himself. We are to function here on this earth, in this worldly country, as representatives of a heavenly country. You might say it this way: if you are a believer, you are a new man, and I mean by that a person. You are a new man in a new world. It's not that one day you're going to be a new man in a new world. You are now, this very hour. That's why I wanted to sing that way. In fact, in Colossians, if you'll turn there with me, to Colossians, we're going to be in both chapters 2 and 3. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, we are told that as believers, we have put on the new man. So we're new people. We're a new man in Christ. In another passage, if any man or person for that matter is in Christ, he is a new creation. You're a new man. That's your identity as a believer. Hey, don't ever forget that. Don't forget your true identity. You know, there's a lot of mistaken identity in our culture. Dysphoria. Don't have dysphoria regarding your identity as a believer. Your identity, first and foremost, is that you are a new man in Christ. You are a new creation. When you know that, when you realize that, when that becomes a reality in your daily life, it makes all the difference. You don't feel the stress and the pressure of being what other people think you should be or want you to be when you realize you already are what you're supposed to be. You're a new man in Christ. That's your, hey, check your identity, will you? Let's have an identity check right now and make sure that you understand and you realize the fact of the matter is, as a believer, your identity is you're a new man. You are a new person in Christ. I want you to go back to chapter 2 of Colossians. This is where I want to spend the bulk of our time tonight. Colossians chapter 2. And in verse 12, he says, we are buried with him in baptism. Well, you know what? You bury dead people. You bury dead people. And in verse 13, he begins that verse, and you being dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now, always remember this. Always remember this, folks, that death is not the end of your existence. Death simply means separation. For example, he's not talking about physical death here, but when we talk about physical death, which is what we're most familiar with, physical death is the separation of your body from your soul and your spirit. It is not the end of your existence as a human being. That's important. That's why I'm stressing it. Always remember that death means separation. It's not the end of existence. Now he says in verse 11 of Colossians 2, regarding you, your new identity, you're a new man, that's your identity. He says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So it's not a physical, it's a spiritual circumcision, because it's not performed by anyone with human hands. It's a circumcision performed without hands. So it is a spiritual circumcision. What's he talking about? He explains it in the rest of that 11th verse. This spiritual circumcision, look at it, what it says, is the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, being buried with him in baptism. All right? So I said, your identity is you're a new man. And understand that, I mean a new person. As a believer, that's your true identity. You're a new man. You know how and why you're a new man? Because whether you are male or female, you have undergone a spiritual circumcision, as it's called here. Because as verse 13 says, when God found you, you were dead. You were dead in your sins. That's what he says there. God found you spiritually dead. And remember, death is not the end of existence, but death is simply a separation, which means when you were found by God dead in your sins, your human spirit was cut off from God's spirit. Your human spirit was joined with indwelling sin, and so you were separated from God. You were separated from his spirit. You were separated from his life. So you were spiritually dead in sin. You were joined to sin. That's what he's saying this spiritual circumcision accomplished. I believe that the moment that you were saved, you may know that moment. I don't, because I was saved as a child many, many years ago. And I remember praying the prayer of salvation a couple of times, and I don't know which one was real, but I know it's real, okay? I know I got saved, but I don't know when, really. I'm not sure when it really happened, but I know it happened. It's just like a guy that they're alive, but they can't produce a birth certificate, okay? I know I'm alive in Christ, but I believe that what we should understand is the moment that you are saved, the moment of your salvation experience, He's saying you were spiritually circumcised. Okay? And I believe that being that circumcision here in that spiritual sense is the same thing as what Paul meant when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Circumcision and crucifixion are equal. They're the same thing. They're exactly the same thing. And what it amounts to is this. When you were saved, you were totally severed. You were totally severed in your human spirit from its union, its joint to indwelling sin. You were separated from that. That you were severed from that once and for all. You following me? That's what spiritual circumcision is. And that's what Paul meant when he said, I'm crucified with Christ. He meant, I have been, at the moment of salvation, severed totally. My human spirit has been severed in its union that it had with sin that dwells in me. I'm forever severed from that. That union has been permanently broken. Are you with me up to this point? Okay, so you're a new man, and I'm trying to show you your identity as a new man. It involves circumcision, but it doesn't end there. The good news is you're not just cut loose from sin. You've not only had a circumcision or a crucifixion, you've had a resurrection. Look at the second part of verse 12 of chapter 2. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. He's raised Christ from the dead physically, but in doing so, when you trusted the crucified, risen Savior, he has raised you from the dead spiritually. Look at verse 13. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's quickened, he's made alive, he's resurrected together with him, with Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses. If you're a believer, you're a new man. You've undergone circumcision, but you've also undergone resurrection. You've not only been crucified with Christ, you've been made alive with Christ. And you have been put in complete union with him. Your human spirit that through circumcision, through crucifixion, was once and for all totally severed in that former union with indwelling sin, has now been permanently united and joined with the Spirit of Christ. In fact, in chapter 2, if you'll drop back with me in verse 9, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a human body. And verse 10 says, and you, believer, a new man, you're complete in Christ. You're complete in him. What he's saying is simply this. You are in a complete union with Jesus Christ. Your human spirit, severed from its union formerly with indwelling sin, now joined perfectly and permanently in a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, where he tells these believers and he's warning them about their moral lives, that they don't involve themselves in immorality. He says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. So you're a new man. And he says in that 13th verse, as a new man, you've undergone this spiritual resurrection and you've had all of your sins forgiven. That's what he says in verse 13. And in verse 14, he tells us what he actually did with those sins. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, the law that we had broken, that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it all out of the way and nailed it to his cross. That's what forgiveness he gave to us who are the new man, who have this identity. He has erased totally the complete record of our sinful debt of broken laws, past, present, and even future. He's obliterated the law that we broke by nailing it up on the cross, revealing that it's been completely removed forever. You're a new man. So he warns them in verses 8 and 9, don't buy into the high-sounding nonsense of human thinking that has its sources in evil spirits in the unseen realm, that when you are joined to Christ, who is the fullness of God, and he is the head over all spirits in the unseen realm, you don't have to listen to their nonsense. Beware lest any man spoil you, verse 8, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, because you're a new man. Has that been clear? Has that been established? Do you understand this evening that you're a new man? That's your true identity. Well, let me also then go on to say that you're a new man and you're already living in a new world. A world that's yet to come, but you're already in it. You're already a new man in a new world. Because this apostle tells us that the life that we now live as a new man, we live not by human self-effort, but we live by dependence upon Christ. We live by faith or trust in him. In fact, I think it's back in Matthew chapter 19. I just happened to be reading this morning. And he says to his disciples, when Peter asks, you know, Lord, we've forsaken everything and to follow you. What are we going to get out of it? Isn't that just like us? And Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you'll also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When he uses that word, regeneration, he's talking about a new world. You know, there's a new world coming, right? There's a new world. It's on the way. There's a new kingdom that we're supposed to be praying that it would come to earth. Thy kingdom come. That's a new world we're praying for. But the fact of the matter is, folks, we're already in that new world. In a spiritual sense, we're already in that new world. Because we're in Christ. And where is Christ? He's in the new world. And so we are new men. We're a new man in a new world. Let me illustrate it this way. Trump is already president-elect. Trump is already elected president, yet he has not been inaugurated. That's going to happen January 20th, 2025. But have you noticed in all of the news that has come out about him that he is, without even trying, and sometimes he is trying, but without even trying, he's exerting presidential powers, and he hasn't even been inaugurated. His term hasn't even begun yet. Well, guess what? In a similar sense, the new world hasn't come to this earth, but but we're already living in that which is coming. Look at what he says in chapter 3 of Colossians and verse 1. If you be risen with Christ, and I just showed you that as a new man, that's your identity. You've been resurrected with him. Since you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things in the new world where Christ sits on the throne at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above in the new world, not on things in this old world on earth. For you're dead. That is, you're dead to this old world. And it's a lure. Your life is hid with Christ and God in the new world. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, you'll appear with him in the glory of the new world. You're a new man in a new world that's coming that you already are in. I know that sounds paradoxical, but it's true. You're already in a new world that hasn't yet arrived here on this planet, but it's going to. And what he's talking about in those first four verses is in the new world, Christ is enthroned, and we know that where he is, we are. So we're enthroned. The cross utterly defeated, it disarmed, and even disgraced all the evil spirits of the unseen realm. Look with me at verse 15 of chapter 2 across the page. And having spoiled principalities and powers, that is code language for the unseen realm of evil spirits, what Paul otherwise would call the rulers of the darkness of this world or spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies in high places. He spoiled them. That means he disarmed them. He made a show of them openly. That is, he not only defeated them and disarmed them, he disgraced them. He made fools of them. He disgraced evil spirits in the unseen realm, and they're not happy. But this is the result. The result of the believer's spiritual resurrection and enthronement with Christ is that we are spiritually dead. Remember, death isn't the end of existence, it's separation. We are spiritually dead or separated from these evil spiritual powers in the unseen realm and also from the world's lifestyle so that we're not ruled by it. And Paul would say in Galatians 6, I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. I'm dead to it. It's because I'm a new man living in a new world. See, that's why he says those. I'm enthroned already. Christians belong to a new world that's coming. But in Christ, the one who's the ruler of this new world, we're already living in it. Got that? We're enthroned already. We're already living in the new world as new men. There's something else. Because we are a new man in a new world, we're not only enthroned, but in this old world that our feet are still connected to this terra firma, to this earth, it's okay because even though we're here, we're enabled. Because we're enthroned in a new world, we're enabled. Look at what he says in verse 3. He says, you're dead. Again, you're separated from the world's lifestyle. Your life is hid with Christ. You're in the new world. Verse 5, put to death. Separate yourselves, therefore. Mortify, that means kill, or separate yourselves. Your members, that's the parts of your body that would cause you to sin. Separate your members, which are upon the earth, which are in this old world, from fornication and uncleanness and inordinate. I mean, look those words up. I don't have time to define all of them for you, and they're big words, and some of them are rather archaic and kind of obsolete in our modern language, so look them up. But anyway, the point I would make is that because you are spiritually resurrected, living in a new world, the basis for living now in this old world is the new world that's coming. The basis for living now in this world is the Christ life in the new world that you already possess. Of course, you're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, yet you're living out of the Christ life in you, which is the new man in a new world, even though you're in the old world yet with your feet on the ground. So it's a separation. Christians are dead. They're separated from a self-oriented lifestyle, which is really the epitome of human life in this present world. It's just a self-centered lifestyle. That's the epitome of it. There's that separation. You're enabled to be separated from that. And there's also that connection. Look at verses 10 and 11. You've put on the new man. That's the good connection. You've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created it, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. We're all in Christ, and Christ is in all. There's a separation that's half of this enablement, and then there's a connection that's the other half of it. Because Christ is, the believer's already joined in union with the ruler of the new world. We're enabled then by Christ in us to be endued by putting on. That's what the word endued, it's like putting on a coat, putting on clothing. You can endue yourself with, you can put on this new man that you already are living in this, living in a new world. It's incredible. And then this new world is not to, it's to be enthroned with him, to be enabled by him, which involves separation, but a connection, and that connection then gets demonstrated. There's demonstration. What does living as a new man in the new world look like? Well, let's look at the next few verses. Rather, the rest of the chapter tells us what it looks like. What living as a new man in the world look like? Verse 12, put on therefore as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. That's tenderness. And then he talks about compassion, kindness, humbleness, gentleness, endurance, that's what long suffering is. Verse 13, forbearing one another, forgiveness. Verse 14, put on charity, that's God's love, God kind of love. Husbands, love your wives, verse 19. Peacefulness, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Joyfulness, verse 16, singing and psalms and hymns with grace in your heart. Thankfulness, verse 17, whatever you do, in everything, give thanks to God. This is what a new man living in a new world looks like. This is the demonstration of it. It's submissiveness, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. It's obedience, verse 20. Children, obey your parents. It's diligence, verse 22 to 23. Servants, obey in all things your master. Whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not unto men. You're a new man in a new world, which really goes with that chorus. This world is not my home. Yeah, I'm here. but it's really not my home. I'm a new man in a new world already. However, I sadly have to admit that if we would observe the average Christian life in this present world, we'd have to conclude that this world is our home because this is what we're all wrapped up in. Because it doesn't seem like we're living as a new man in a new world.